Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly sunny, breezy today with a high 43 to 48. Clear, breezy, cool tonight, 25 to 30. For tomorrow, mostly sunny day, 40 to 45. Wednesday, sunny, 45. Thursday, increase in clouds, milder weather, 50 to 55. And periods of rain, mild weather on Friday, 55 to near 60. You don't have to worry about driving in bad weather when you take the Port Jeff Ferry to Long Island, New York. Experience the great season by shopping in Port Jefferson, Long Island. Call 888-443-3779. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackman on 1490 WGCH.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the March 11th edition of Camillo's Corner. I'm Fred Camillo, along with Teddy Roosevelt and Noah Roth. Good morning, Noah.
Good morning, Fred.
How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I'm happy to be here, though, today. It's nice kind of waking up with a Monday, and there's not snow.
There's not snow. There's not ice. It's not bone-chilling wind, and apparently it's supposed to be 65 on Friday.
Is it really?
That's what they were saying this morning, and you know, it's not going to last. March is a crazy month, but I think we've turned the corner. And anytime you get, to me, past mid-February, even if you get a monster snowstorm, it's not going to last because you know spring is within sight. And especially now that we're into March, coming to the middle of it, spring is just 10 days away. So we're pretty much home free, but there's going to be some rough days still.
You know, I got to admit, I do obviously always like when it gets lighter out. You know, a couple of reasons. It's always so crazy to me when it gets lighter, like 4:30, you know, in November and everything else like that. And then you think about it, springtime's coming, finally it's getting a little bit nicer. Baseball games, you always think how crazy it is, you know what I mean? Like, it's getting dark at 4:30, like, you should be getting ready to go to the ballpark, and it's still going to be bright out until, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock at least. I mean, sometimes it's...
No, it is, and I agree with you. I get that, what do they call it, sad seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, seasonal depression and things like that, I think is...
I've always had it, but I think the way I've dealt with it and a lot of people deal with it is just staying busy. You stay busy, you don't have time to dwell on things, but if you're idle, excuse me, and you have that that condition, it's... winter can be a long, brutal, lonely time of year, but if, you know, the key is staying busy. But you know, you're right. As soon as December comes, and unless you have some trips down south planned, it gets a little depressing. But the way I look at it now, and it's a positive frame of mind, I look at it as soon as December 22nd comes, that each day it's getting lighter now.
Yeah.
It's maybe a minute and a half, whatever it is. But so that's a...
just chipping away.
You're chipping away.
Right?
You're chipping away. Now you're really getting there, so it's you can almost feel it.
Right.
But this is that crazy time of the year where spring is almost here. You're going to get days that are 65, like on Friday. But also, you could get a zero day or two. And I was watching over the weekend, there was a group of ice fishermen, I think it was like in Michigan, and they walked out on the ice, and during the day the temperatures were rising, and all of a sudden the piece of ice broke away, and they were floating out into, I think, like Lake Superior or something, like Lake Michigan. And they had to come by airboat to get them, and by helicopter.
This was this past weekend?
Excuse me. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, I could say my weekend was nowhere near as eventful as that.
No, that's a
nowhere
good thing.
Near.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
The as it was floating out, a couple of guys, brave souls, jumped in the water, and it was the water with temperature was like 33, I think. But at that point, they could have made it. They did make it, but eventually they were a mile and a half out, so they wouldn't have been able to make it. So they had to jump in when they did immediately, and then I was also the same. The next story we have on TV was a guy was diving in South Africa, and I don't know if you saw the picture, a big giant whale jumped up.
No, I missed this.
He ended up in its mouth.
What?
There's a picture of it.
This was also this past weekend?
This past weekend.
It was ice. You know what? The changing of the clocks that I mentioned really apparently got me. Maybe I did a little extra sleeping, but, you know.
Well, I tell you, and the whale spit him out. I started sweating thinking about it because you think of those old stories where the guy's trapped in the whale's belly. Yeah. How did he get out?
That's unbelievable. I have to look this up after the show or maybe while we go to break or something. But that's insanity.
You can Google it. It was amazing. And they started talking about the old stories of, read and watched growing up of, being stuck inside the whale. And this guy almost ended up inside the whale.
Yeah, with Jonah. Yeah, yeah.
So... And then the final one I saw was, I think this may have happened twice, once in Florida, once in Arizona, jaguar. One woman was taking a selfie in Arizona right next to the jaguar cage, and of course she got bit.
Really?
But I thought there
was... Is that where you're wearing the hat today?
No. I do have the Jacksonville Jaguar hat on.
Where's Pete Gass calling in?
Pete Gass, if he's listening down there in Jacksonville, Florida, I do have the Jaguar hat on. I thought they originally said it was in Florida, so there may have been two attacks, but definitely the one in the selfie was in Arizona.
That's crazy. Have you gone to a concert or anything like that recently at all?
Not recently.
I went to she's actually going to be performing over at Mohegan Sun, I think, later this week, but I went to Kelly Clarkson last week, right?
How was that?
It was actually quite good, I will say. You know, like she had that affable personality, I guess, that, you know, was able to be portrayed on stage or whatever. And you just kind of wanted her to, like, continue to do well, you know, like very down to earth. It seemed like she was like, hey, like, I'm pretty chill. She was the first winner
one, right.
Yeah, of American Idol. And she's like, hey, you know, I'm a pretty chill person, but hey, like, I can sing. I know I could sing. And, like, I can kind of do these things, but it's only really because I could sing, you know? But the amount of people that are just on their phone, whether it be recording it, you know, to watch it later, taking a selfie or this or that, and just not enjoying what's going on. Like, you know, you see a beautiful jaguar and everything else like that, and it's like...
Well, I've seen those jaguars
at
the Jacksonville Zoo a couple of years ago, and I have great, beautiful pictures. I'll show you of the jaguars. But it's funny that you say that. they were talking about Tiger Woods... winning his last tournament, as he's walking down the fairway, and there was no applause. People were just holding their phones up in the fairway, taking pictures of Tiger, and he remarked about it how years ago, before there were cell phones, you would have the applause as someone was walking up the fairway in the 18th. You know, but
sure.
But now there's no applause because everybody's videoing it. So it is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. Like,
there was something about that applause walking up the fairway on the 18th to take your final bows to acknowledge the crowd after winning a tournament, and then now, even now it's quiet because everybody's on their cell phones.
Now here's the real question, the real kicker. So I know, all right. So no concerts, but like you'll go to a Yankee game, right?
Yeah.
Aaron Judge hits a home run.
Yes.
Are you going, woo, with all your friends, you know, like as it's taking place? Or are you like, yeah, like you hit a home run, all right? It's
your video.
1-0 or 2-0, you know? People are videoing. It's crazy.
It is. I mean, it's cool to be able to videotape something, but there's no substitute for the roar of the crowd.
Yeah.
There's no substitute, you know, for Yankee Stadium erupting. There's no substitute for, you know, Arnold Palmer walking up the 18th fairway, winning the Masters, yeah, and having people go crazy.
Just living in the moment.
Living in the moment. We don't do that anymore. We're preserving moments for the future, which is great, but you kind of miss out on it.
Half the time, they never even come out that great, the videos.
No, they don't.
Right?
No, they don't. And now, these videos, it's so funny because they take videos, and there was a... they're using these videos, you know, innocent videos to solve crimes.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Larry David story?
Which one?
I remember watching this.
From the show? Or?
Yeah, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Okay.
I'm actually rewatching it right now for the second time. So
remember the one where he picks up, he's going to Dodger Stadium, and he wants to go in the HOV lane, and he picks up a person who works at night, a woman, and she was dressed the part. And that video, so somebody got accused of murder.
Yeah.
And they used that to basically prove the lawyer proved the guy's innocence because the guy was in the scene.
Right.
Right? So that's while it's not a video from a phone, the video of
still
saved this guy because he got accused of murder. And he said, "How could I do it? I was at the game."
Right.
And I don't know who alerted it to him, the fact that he was on that night, the night they were, Larry David was filming Curb Your Enthusiasm. The guy just happened to be sitting in that section.
This really was a thing?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Oh, I had never heard about this.
Casey Stengel said you could look it up. Google that too.
I'm going to have to.
It's a Larry, of all people, Larry David.
Yeah, seriously.
So I think we have a guest on the phone, but we're going to hit a break. We're going to go right to the break now so we could spend a little more time with our special guest on the phone. Be back in a moment with the next segment of Camillo's Corner.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly sunny, breezy today with a high 43 to 48. Clear, breezy, cold tonight, 25 to 30. Mostly sunny, low 40s tomorrow. And Wednesday, sunny, 45. More clouds Thursday. Milder weather, 50 to 55. And periods of rain. Mild weather to wrap up the week on Friday with a high between 55 and 60 degrees. I'm meteorologist Bill Jack, women on 1490 WGCH.
This is Fred Dreyer, former Rams defensive end. Football season just ended, and you can bet teams are already hard at work scouting new talent for next season. But if you're running a small business, you need to know where to go to find top recruits. LinkedIn. It's where people go every day to make connections, grow in their careers, and discover new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends the qualified candidates you want to spend time talking to make a quality hire you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting your job opportunity on LinkedIn and visit LinkedIn.com/solution. Get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/solution. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library. Greenwich Library is pleased to offer the Musicians from Marlborough in concert in the Cole Auditorium. Now in its 54th season, Musicians from Marlborough, the touring extension of the Marlborough Music Festival in Vermont, is noted not only for their joyous and thoroughly prepared performances, but also for offering valuable touring experience to artists at the beginning of their careers. They also feature programs of unusual as well as beloved chamber repertoire. The Washington Post describes the touring group as so fresh and full-blooded, so full of earthy vitality and sheer sensual pleasure that it made you happy to be alive. And according to the Chicago Sun-Times, the secret is a sense of joy, apparent from the very first note. This performance will feature works by Haydn, Purcell, Britten, and Dvorak. The concert will be held on Sunday, March 17th at 4 p.m. Please call 622-7910 for more information. I'm Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH.
Around the House with Steve Gladstone on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 is jam-packed with important information, preventative maintenance, and all sorts of home tips to keep your house in great shape and your family safe. We have special guests on heating, cooling, environmental issues, and we make it fun with trivia contests and prizes. Don't let that home fall apart around you. Join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 on Around the House with Steve Gladstone on 1490 WGCH. WGCH.
Okay, we are back with segment two of this week's Camillo's Corner, and on the phone is our great friend of the Greenwich Sentinel, Paul Silverfarb. Paul, how are you?
Hey, Fred, how are you today?
Good, thank you. Thanks for calling in. Paul, I know you're a busy guy, and I know it's you know, beginning of the week for you, and busy stuff, a lot of things going on, and baseball season's here, so I know you're like a whirlwind right now.
Well, you know what? Anytime I get to come on right after the Brass Bonanza, it's a very good thing. So I am not complaining.
Isn't that unbelievable? That's something we could listen to all day long.
All day long. It's funny because I would watch the, you know, because the Carolina Hurricanes brought back the Whalers for two games.
Yes.
And I know it's supposed to bring happiness to Hartford fans and the Whalers and, you know, all those. It just got me so irate every time I saw that jersey. And it's so sad. Like, I went from, oh, this is going to be cool. I've always wanted, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen the Hartford Whalers and all this. And then all of a sudden I'm watching the game against the Bruins and I'm like, all right, go wait a minute. Why am I not as happy as I, and it ran the emotional gamut from, yes, the Whalers are back to, oh, I hope the Bruins win.
And how many times did you say that years ago?
I know. Tell me about it. Well, the Whalers, going to the Hartford Civic Center, or the XL Center, it was literally a rite of passage for me. It was so much fun. I would go down there, and, you know, you buy the $5 seats, sit in the upper deck. By the middle of the first intermission, you're at, like, ice level. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, that's my biggest regret is I never went to those games, and now I kick myself when I go by that same arena. But we were New York centric here. We were on the New York border. We was all Rangers and Islanders. And as I look at Noah with his Islander hat on now, and he's rubbing it in a little bit because they have the upper hand in New York right now. But you're absolutely right, and it didn't have to happen. But I stand convinced that if the state of Connecticut partnered with a private entity to build an arena, they would get a team back that would be called the Whalers. You're throwing money into the XL Center is just not going to do it. The NHL has said so.
Well, I went to one of my little nephews went to, I guess, in between the first and second intermission, they played a like an exhibition, you know, a fun little 5-minute thing and whatever. And he's like, well, 5 years old, so, you know, they're stumbling around the ice and stuff like that. So I went to a Wolfpack game, and I'm watching the game. First off, they have the entire upper deck carpeted off, so that way tarped off, so no one can go in the upper deck to make it look like it's busier.
It's like going to a Rays game this year.
Yes. Exactly.
Or Oakland. And I'm watching this thing, and I mean, the arena is in bad shape. Like, I don't blame the NHL for not wanting to come here, because you go to MSG, you go to the Barclays, you go to, you know, even the new Long Island, you know, the new stadium in Long Island.
No, inaccurate.
And there's such a difference between the two arenas that you're like, yeah, there's no way an NHL team could come here. It's borderline embarrassing.
Yeah, it really is. And I always give the example of the Minnesota North Stars, where, you know, they were a great franchise out there, but they weren't drawing that well, which I was shocked to learn about. They left and went to Dallas. They became the Dallas Stars. Minnesota gets a new franchise. They call it the Wild, but they build them a new arena, and they're drawing like crazy.
Oh yeah, it's amazing how that works. Well, look at the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets moved, and all of a sudden they built them a new arena. There's a passion for hockey. All of a sudden, the Winnipeg Jets are back, and they're one of the best teams in the NHL.
Well, that's why I think with the right team in Hartford, you can get this done, because it's a natural. The Hartford Whalers, the name, the uniform,
the song, the
history. And they weren't very good. They only made the playoffs once yet.
And they're still generating revenue, and they're not existing.
They've been defunct for 22 years, and they're, I think, the sixth highest selling merchandise in all of sports, which tells you something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something that let's be honest, it's not a dig on the Hartford Wolfpack, because, you know, my Rangers are their AHL team, so I'm not digging on my Wolfpack, but when I went to the game, I saw more Whaler jerseys than Wolfpack jerseys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You still see them at other NHL games too, for sure.
Well, yeah. You see even the Hartford, a lot of Hollywood stars are showing up in the last several years with Whaler shirts, Whaler hats. I have several several Whaler hats home.
If you need any more, you could still go to the NHL stores. Still selling quite a bit of their merchandise down in Manhattan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There used
They were saying that. What if they were saying that if you go to the when they played the Boston Bruins last week, they were selling half the merchant the team shop was Whaler stuff. It was visiting team stuff they had there.
Wow.
But that's just everybody loves. Loves the logo, loves the look, and
Bruins are smart.
Well, there was. Do you remember, Paul? Do you remember in Milford, Connecticut, there was the Hartford Whaler store, and it was in the 90s, and it used to be on right on the main drag there.
Yep, it was absolutely.
And I remember going up there, and that was foreign to me. I might as well have said USS CCCP. It may as well have said because I'm thinking that these guys are crazy out there. I'm in the sticks now. They have Whaler shops. But because we were Ranger people, but I tell you, it really was something, and I remember that little store to this day, Hartford Whalers.
Yeah, I have gone up there several times, especially if I went to a Whalers game. You know, I grew up in Trumbull, so you know there are times where a couple buddies of mine were like, "Hey, let's go up and see a game." We go up to the game, but before we go up, we go to Milford. We fire up the souvenirs, and away we go.
Isn't that something? That's terrific. Well, that's why every capital city in the United States needs to have a pro sports franchise. No knock on the Argotes, which is a great park, a great little AA franchise there for the city. But you need to get a major league, and Hartford is tailor-made for the hockey and for the Whalers. So someone's got to make that happen.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. Hartford deserves another chance at an NHL team, and I think they would do. I think they would draw really well still.
Well, I agree with you. So before you called in, we're going to get to the Greenwich Sentinel in a bit. But since we're on the sports, we were talking about baseball and Larry David on. I was thinking Howard Baldwin, the owner of the Wheels.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Larry David. When he had that scene where he picked up the woman of the night to get into the HOV lane, and that ended up some guy was accused for murder. I don't know if you remember that story. And he was in the scene, and that's how they proved him innocent.
It's unreal.
But
that's amazing.
So that's
amazing.
We segue using Larry David to get into a little bit of baseball. you're a big New York Yankee fan. Noah's a big Met fan. I have a feeling the Mets are going to do pretty well this year. I think they're going to be in competition I think they're going to end up doing better than Philadelphia, even though they picked up Realmuto and Harper. I think the Yankees are going to do well this year. I really do. I have a feeling that last year they came the closest to beating the Red Sox, even though they went down in five games. Those games are pretty competitive. And it was, they were pretty even during the season, so there wasn't that much difference. But I think the Yankees strengthened themselves a little bit more in the offseason than the Red Sox did. Your thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree more. I think that if you look at the Yankee bullpen, that's pretty much that might be a historical. This has a chance to be a historical bullpen. I mean, with all the great players, great athletes that they have in the bullpen. I mean, and for as a starting pitcher. I mean, that's such a great relief knowing that if you go five innings, you have a decent shot at winning the game, especially knowing, you know, the bats that are up there. I mean, I could go down the entire roster of the bats and stuff like that. And speed is still an issue for me. I'm still concerned about the Yankees and their speed around the bases and stuff, and their ability to play small ball, which I heard they're improving on quite a bit during the spring training. But I think they're expected to come in first place this year in the East, and I agree with that. I think that they have done more to help their team than the Red Sox have done to help their team. And I think that I would like to get one more pitcher just because, I mean, look at CC and Severino, and who knows if Tanaka could last the whole year. You know, one more arm. You know, it doesn't have to be the best arm on the planet. It could be, you know, just one more arm I think would really help solidify that team.
Well, I think you're right. You're absolutely right. And it's so funny when they picked up Adam Ottavino. I mean, I don't know. Right. They have they could have four or five different closers in there. You could end up starting a closer. That's how good they are in that bullpen. So I don't know if you're a Yankees.
Yeah, first pitch of the game, Chapman, 101 miles.
Exactly.
An hour.
I mean, if the Yankees get ahead of you this year and you're the opposing team, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You're in big trouble. The key is going to be don't let the Yankees get out.
Six innings.
Yeah. You need to manage for a six-inning game and be ahead of the Yankees. If you're not, it's not probably not going to have a good outcome if you're trailing by at the end of the fifth or sixth inning with the Yankees this year.
And everybody kind of forgets that. I mean, the one great thing that I've noticed about spring training is the Yankees it's been kind of business as usual. There really hasn't been a lot of noise around the Yankees, and I think that's fantastic. I mean, we had Aaron Judge, who was out for a very decent amount of time last year. He's back. He's healthy. He's ready to go. No one's talking about Giancarlo Stanton anymore, which is a good thing because now we can settle down, relax, and realize that, you know, it's not on me all the time and hope, you know, he'll probably have his garbage April and part of May. But once he heats up, I mean, you know, there might be no stopping him.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a great year.
Yeah. Supposedly Sanchez has slimmed down. He's looking really good behind the plate. There's a lot of really good things that I like about spring training this year.
No, I totally agree with you. It's an exciting time, and I think by the looks of it, I mean, they do look to be in shape. It looks like they're a little angry and hungry, which is what you really want for a team to come in there. You don't want them to be, you know, lazy and happy. You want them to be a little aggravated and hungry. And, you know, like anything else, those are the teams that are going to do really well. They want something. There's something to prove. And especially now for Aaron Boone, because –
right.
You know, he really has to win. I hate to say that. He has to win this year because...
Do you like him?
One year. I don't think he's a bad manager at all. And
take out the 2003 home run.
Take that out. You like him? It goes with the package. But I prefer the old-type managers, the Billy Martins, who manage from their gut rather than all this analytics. But it is part of the game. Very few of those old-time managers are left now. Boone's, you know, one of the new, you know, the new generation of managers. So I mean, I'm not happy about it, but it is what it is. And you know, I still think because he was given such a good team, he was given a team that came within one game of a World Series in a rebuilding year. So
right.
The guy that they let go or didn't re-sign really had a case. But and I used to get mad at Joe Girardi for over-managing, but I look back at it now, and I think I was a little bit too harsh on him. But we'll see. I think he's got to win, though. I think he has to win this year.
And it's funny because I think that he's one of the perfect guys for the. And I agree with you. I would much rather have the old school type of manager. You know, forget the analytics. You know, that stuff's just driving me crazy. But I think that he's a good manager for that team because he's a young manager, and that team is quite young. So to have somebody that's kind of relatable, that has somebody that, you know, does a good job at motivating the team or gets the team hungry or gets the team fired up, I think that there's a little of that that is always overlooked, and I think that that stuff is very important.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, being a player.
He
could tweet at them. Everybody else is tweeting. Everybody else is tweeting a little too much, but everybody seems to be doing it these days. But no, it looks. I'm going to be catching a game on the 20th. I think it's the Yankees are. I think they're playing the Astros. So, looking forward to that.
You circled that one.
Yeah, no, it's. I can't wait. Yeah. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's a couple more days.
Yeah.
Couple more days, and in and out. I don't like.
You're about a month away.
Yeah, I don't like to fly. So I, of course, this morning got with those two. You know, the tragedy over in Ethiopia and with the plane and.
Right.
So that's I don't recommend this for anybody, but I have to take a couple of relaxers when I fly because that's the only thing that's ruining this is I'm starting to think about the flight.
I couldn't agree with you more. I am not a flying person, and my wife is absolutely miserable with me when I.
So you're like that too?
Oh yeah, I am not a good flyer. I do not like flying. I just get me on the ground as fast as possible. We're good to go.
Well, you and I are just alike. People say he's a claustrophobia. I say no. It's a fact. I'm above the ground. I don't want to be up there. So that's why you remember the A team that was on TV with Mr. T?
Yeah.
And remember when he never fly? B A Baracus. They used to have to give him a needle and he'd knock him out. I would do that. I would have.
Yeah, I would do that too.
Knock me out. I don't care what happens then, because I'm not going to know. You can hijack the plane to Cuba. I don't want to know. I just don't.
As long as I don't know, I'm good to go.
Absolutely. No, but that's a highlight coming up in a few days. Of course, we have hockey and you know, the playoffs coming up. March Madness is upon us. Any any predictions there?
No. I don't think Duke or UNC is going to win. I don't know.
Well, they were 3-4 going into the game the other night. And so obviously UNC, North Carolina is going to stay around there. Duke may go down a little bit, but you can never count them out. A Krzyzewski team.
I don't know. I'm going to say that. You know what? I'll go with Gonzaga again. No one's really talked about them, so
okay.
Let's see what happens.
Well, that'll be a nice story.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, no. There's nothing like those. Those years were like in 83, Valvano and the Wolfpack, in 85, Rolly Massimino and Villanova, teams that were given no shot that beat teams that were really a lot more talented than them. I mean, that Houston team in 83 was like a pro team. They were
that was a pro team.
They were probably better than half of the NBA teams. That's how good they were. And
they were outstanding.
If you ever watched that special on Valvano, I think it was 30 for 30, who was the guy? Derek Wittenberg, who I love, and he was an assistant coach after. But this, the love on that team that they have for each other—a bunch of knuckleheads, wise guys, you know,
who could play,
and were smart enough, and strong-willed enough to get it together to be in a team that really was probably on the talent meter twice as good as them, and yet they beat them.
It's an amazing story.
It really is. And that, you know, of course, with Jimmy V dying sadly, and then Lorenzo Charles, who put in the last basket to win the championship, but got killed in a car crash, which is a tragedy. And a funny story, Wittenberg was claiming that it was a pass to Charles, even though, you know, it was an air ball. Let's face it, it was an air ball. But he was saying, what are you talking about? I saw Charles sneaking in there. It was a beautiful pass. I deked it. But just, you know, great fun. But that's what March Madness is. I really look forward to seeing, you know, who's going to be that.
Kemba Walker taking over, one of those situations.
Yeah. Something where it's just, it usually, every year there used to be something in some story. So we'll see. It's a great time of year because you have that March Madness. You got hockey and basketball getting ready for the playoffs. You have the NFL draft on the horizon, and baseball starting. So really, to me, it's the best time of year.
Yeah, it is. It's so much fun this time of year, especially for baseball kicking off, or, you know, first pitch baseball about, you know, 3 weeks away. It's, can't beat it.
No, I know. And then all this other stuff.
Need some sunflower seeds now, you know, right? You do that with baseball, there's nothing better.
I haven't had this since I used to do the behind the plate. I haven't had sunflower seeds in years. Yeah, I used to love.
I gotta get you some. Yeah, next Monday.
There we go.
It might interfere with the show, but
well, yeah. So especially if I'm spitting them on the floor, that's not going to be. That's not going to end well here. With all these things going on, right? But Paul is the editor of the Greenwich Sentinel. So you have all these other news stories getting in the way of our sports. I mean, it's a lot of nerve some of these people and events have, but you do. You're a sports guy. You're a news guy. Over the years, Paul, you know, the Sentinel has been around for how long now?
It's been around, 4 or 5 years.
And it's a great, you know, I love even just the name itself. It harkens back to, you know, the revolutionary times. Greenwich is a, you know, very historic town. There's something about it. The S reminds me of the old Washington Senators S. It's a very classic setup there. And it's a weekly, but you are online daily. I see the stories all over the internet. But it's nice. It truly is the only local paper, because the Greenwich Times is a daily, but it's not really it's not Greenwich based anymore.
Yeah. So, and our staff does a you know, I mean,
the staff that we have does an amazing job. I mean, Rich Kaufman, who's a news reporter, is just lights out. And
great guy.
Carol Melgar, she's the Carol's the real person in charge of the paper there. Without her, you know, it's, you know, nothing happens. So I mean, it's a great staff that works for the paper, and you know, John Robin takes some phenomenal photos, and you can't go wrong. It's a great staff that cares about the Greenwich community. So you kind of can't. Kind of home run.
Yeah, it really is, and it's people that, you know, who are here of the community, and it's I love it. I know I look forward to it every week, and I know a lot of people, other people do as well. But it's sad because I remember the old days where the Greenwich Time office was over here in East Elm, and back then, and this is pre-internet, right? They used to, like an election night, people would go down there to get the election results, and that was the first place you went. And Bernie Udane, the old editor there, was a great friend. Whose brother started, I think, Roll Call magazine down in D.C. Great, great family, and great. Bernie used to have great stories, but that's when it was a different era. And now it's so much has changed. But yeah. And the fact that the Greenwich Time itself is really not. The office isn't even here, so. You know, it's hard to look at it as a local paper now. They have some great writers and reporters there, terrific. But it's just, for me, it's a little bit different now, and the Sentinel, I think, has picked up that void.
It's fine. I mean, I enjoy, you know, obviously immensely working for the Sentinel, and it's nice to be in touch with the community. And I still get to do a bunch of sports stuff as well back, you know. So I've been kind of busy doing a lot of the news aspects, whether it's the trees that are at Binney Park or whether it's the swim team that won the SCAC championship and is going out today to compete in the double L's, stuff like that. I mean, it's fun because it's the local community. I mean, and with the football team that did so well, I mean, this year, I mean, it was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of, you know, that whole community spirit thing, which I think is just fantastic.
Yeah, I know, and you guys have done some great features, and especially on some of the athletes here who have gone on to do other things in college and beyond, and I know you've been great about that. When lots of us would send you a story about something, a human interest story, you'd get on it, you'd do a great article on it, which is nice. It's uplifting for the community, for the spirit of the community, and also the Sentinel does – gives out awards and honors people who have given back to the community, and just it's, you know, there's a touch of feel good there too, which is nice, because you can't always say that about newspapers, right? Sometimes,
right.
Especially today,
especially in these days, even back in the old days of the New York Daily News and the New York Post, when Dick Young, who I used to love reading them, but boy, those guys could be nasty and mean. And speaking of that, I was, you know, brought up all these old articles about Tom Seaver, which we, you know, sadly heard this week, publicly for the first time. It's been known for several years, but has dementia due to, they believe, Lyme disease. And Tom Seaver lived here on Golf Club Road. I, as a little boy, used to go and work at his house, and he was a young guy, and I don't really, I was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. But he wasn't that much older. He was 22, 23. He was a young, young guy in the early 70s, and, you know, 23, 24. And he was very nice to me. And I remember, I believe his dad was a Marine, and my dad was a drill instructor in Marine Corps, so he was very respectful to my dad. And I always remembered that, how he would show such respect. And I'm thinking, but this is Tom Seaver. You know, that's my father, you know. But Tom Seaver, he's pitching for the Mets. And my father would talk to him like he would talk to any other young guy, and I think Seaver liked that he didn't put him up on a pedestal, and it probably reminded him of his own dad. But it's just very, very sad to see that he's now going through this, and he won't be around for the 50th here in person anyway, for the 50th anniversary of the miraculous 69 Mets. But Dick Young, and you know, basically the newspaper drove him out of town. You know, so newspapers, fun as they were, and as great as they were, and as entertaining as they were, they could be a little nasty. You know, whether it's sports or otherwise, it could be a tool to drive somebody over the edge. And Seaver was about to sign an extension, and saw a column. I think it was in Atlanta. He woke up, saw the column in the New York Daily News, and called up, I think, Joe McDonald, then GM, and said, "That's it, get me out of here." And then they called up the Reds' GM, I don't know if it was Wagner, his name was, I think, and they worked out the trade.
Wow.
They call that the Midnight Massacre.
So be nice, Paul.
Right. we try, you know.
That's right. So if you rip me, I'm going to call up somebody. I don't know who I'm going to call up and say, "Get me out of here. Send me to Fort Lauderdale." I don't know who I'm going to call.
It's absolutely gorgeous out there right now. One of my friends lives around there, and they were complaining about how it was cold. It was like 60.
Oh my God!
Like, oh no! Stop! Just stop.
The first time I went to Miami Beach years ago, I remember it was like 60 degrees, and everybody's walking around with fur coats and complaining. I'm like, "You guys nuts? I would take this all day long back home."
Well, it's funny as anything, because I covered the Naples versus Greenwich football game, and one of the things that I will always remember going down to Florida to cover that game is the entire home side was obviously the Naples fans. Greenwich fans, you know, they supported their team. They came out full force and filled the entire far sideline. And the hometown bleachers, all you saw, and it was like, gosh, it was, I don't know, maybe like 65 or 60 degrees. All you saw were people selling out on sweatshirts, parkas, winter jackets, the whole nine yards. And then you have the entire Greenwich section, shorts, T-shirts, polos, you know, it was amazing the difference. And you had the coaches. I went into the coaching room for the Naples after the game for the interview, and I'm sweating. And the coaches are, and I don't have a jacket on. I have a polo and a pair of khaki shorts. And I walk into the room. We sit down. We're waiting for the coaches. The coaching staff comes in full parkas, and the first words they say are, "Crank the heat. Let's go. It's freezing out here." I'm just looking at them like, oh, wow, okay.
It really is amazing how people down there. But you know what? There's something to, I guess, your blood, you know, changes a little bit. You get used to it. I get that. I mean, I really do. I mean, I crave the heat. I love it. But I don't mind a little bit of, you know, change of seasons. I think that's good. But the bitter cold, I could absolutely do without. So when you talk about 55 degrees, I mean, it's going to be 65 degrees on Friday here. And that's going to feel like 100.
Yeah, as I say, it's like 120. It might as well be 120 at that point.
Unbelievable. Well, you know what? Well, we just have to take a break. Paul, hopefully you can stay with us a few more minutes.
Absolutely.
Perfect. We'll be back in a couple more moments with the final segment of this week's Camillo's Corner.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly sunny, breezy today with a high 43 to 48. Clear, breezy, cool tonight, 25 to 30. For tomorrow, mostly sunny day, 40 to 45. Wednesday, sunny, 45. Thursday, increasing clouds, milder weather, 50 to 55. And periods of rain, mild weather on Friday, 55 to near 60. You don't have to worry about driving in bad weather when you take the Port Jeff Ferry to Long Island, New York. Experience the great season by shopping in Port Jefferson, Long Island. Call 888-443-3779. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackman on 1490 WGCH.
Lowe's knows you're the type who does it right to keep your home style up to date. We do it right, too, by offering up to 35% off select bath faucets so you can give your bathroom a quick refresh and save. Go a step further and make an even bigger impact in your bath with new flooring. Get Pergo Timbercraft Plus Wet Protect starting at just $278 a square foot. For your next project, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 313. See store for details, U.S. only.
And now today's Bob Evans foodie lesson, nostalgic eating. Did you know there's a strong link between sense and emotional memory? The smell of different foods can evoke vivid and detailed emotional memories of our past. For example, the scent of a deep-fried corn dog may remind us of a state fair in the summer. Because odor-evoked memories tend to be positive, the smell improves the mood and produces feelings of social connectedness. And now a word from Bob Evans.
You're the family chef, but with homework, practices, email, getting a good meal on the table is tough. Sometimes the best choice is the easy choice. Delicious Bob Evans mashed potatoes and mac and cheese, made with ingredients like real milk, butter, potatoes, and cheese. Bob Evans sides are ready in the microwave in 6 minutes, and they're the perfect complement to any meal. Once your family tries them, it'll be love at first bite. Get Bob Evans sides today in the refrigerated section at your favorite grocery store.
Bob Evans down on the farm.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
A printer with more ink than you think.
The Epson EcoTank printer comes with up to 2 years of ink included, right in the box.
So you can print up to 2 years worth of reports and proposals. Just think about how much you'll save on ink.
And right now at Staples, save $100 on the Epson EcoTank 4750. Plus, when you trade in your old printer in store, you'll save an additional $50.
Staples, there's a whole lot in store.
Ends 3/16/19. See associate for details.
We love to talk sports on WGCH, and we know Greenwich is a great sports town. This is Rob Adams, the host of Doubleheader with, Rob Adams. Weekday afternoons at 3, I'll guide you through the very latest in the world of sports and more with guests and commentary. Call us, and let's make it interactive. High school, college, youth sports, the pros. Let's talk about it.
This is John Sullivan. Whenever I'm back in my hometown of Greenwich, I always check out the sports broadcasts with Rob Adams on 1490 WGCH.
Okay, everybody, we are back with our special guest, Paul Sivafarb of the Greenwich Sentinel. And, Paul, we were talking at the break here. You must have some great stories and favorite things that you've covered over the years. Anything stick out in your mind as far as whether it be news stories or sports-related?
There's a lot. Following the Greenwich High football season, this year has just been something special. I mean, that's a
historic.
What John Pantelli did to his team is, I mean, it's something special. You don't get that stuff, a lot of the time. And I mean, he did such a good job both on and off the field with that program that it was just phenomenal. And I think that's one of the highlights for me professionally is covering that team throughout the year from beginning to end and seeing them get their revenge in the state championship and just dominate basically every game they played throughout the season.
And the last three games was like 136-3 or something combined score, 13, whatever. It was crazy, or 13.
It was absolutely nuts. They did such a great job.
Yeah, that's a special team.
I did a story, and as you know, Fred, it's a little close to me. I did a story on Andrew Nablock, who works for Greenwich Country Day School, and was diagnosed with ALS. And I did a story about his determination and his perseverance and, never giving up attitude and stuff like that. And that was something that I will, speaking to him in his, office was something that I will never forget about. It was a great interview with a great guy.
No, I know, and that's something I know that's near and dear to your heart, and very sad.
But there's a bunch of, there's just so much kind of transpired and everything. It's kind of hard to pick. Covering St. Patrick's Day parades or seeing like homecoming events taking place or, election night stuff. I mean, it's just fun, covering the stuff throughout the town, and each story kind of has its own special connection to me. But those two, I know I'm forgetting stuff along the way, but, those are some things that I kind of won't forget about,
Well, yeah, especially the football is so recent, but it really was in the annals of Greenwich High sports.
It's going to be hard to find a team that could do what they did and replicated. I mean, I know the boys and girls swim teams at Greenwich High have basically dominated, you know, forever. I mean, they've done such a great job at their programs.
And Joe Kelly with the rugby?
Oh, yeah. Rugby team's phenomenal. I mean, you can't ask for a better program the way they've been able to compete. And they don't compete at the state level. They compete at the national level, and they do really well. I mean, it's one of those things where there's only 16 teams that qualify for the national tournament. And you know you've done something right when if you don't qualify or you don't get asked to go for Greenwich, it's weird. Because you know what? They're always invited to go compete at the national championship. And they always do well there. So, you know, that is a phenomenal program that they have over there.
No,
There's a lot of programs that are good throughout Greenwich.
No, I think you're right. We've been blessed here over the years to have so many great teams and athletes, you know, come up through the town. And, you know, Joe Kelly again has become legendary with the rugby, and Coach Terry Lowe with the swimming, as you said. But this football team, the only thing I could think of is the 1963 team with then coach Sam Rutigliano, who became the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And I met him several years ago for a reunion here in Greenwich, and what a great guy. What a nice man he is. And that's, you know, I think they were undefeated, and I think they were state champions too, I believe. But not many. I mean, to go back that far to even start comparing, you're talking 50 something years. Which shows you how significant the accomplishment was for this team. And they, again, like you said, they just didn't win. I mean, they went through people.
Yeah, I was going to say, for them, you know, I mean, if it was a 21 point difference, I mean, you kind of wonder why it was so close. I mean, that kind of stuff is scary when you kind of do that. When you're able to go, well, wow, they only won 55 to 20. Wait a minute, what's going on here? Is everything okay?
Yeah, I mean, what was their closest game this year? Because I'm trying to think during the regular season. Do you remember what? Because it's always those championship teams, whether it's or a fighter, you know, who may have never lost. You say, all right, there were times when that fighter or that team was close to losing, and they got themselves off the deck and won, and proved their championship medal. You know, sometimes when, you know, like that, you were talking about that Houston. University of Houston basketball team against North Carolina State, they were blowing out everybody. But when they got into a game that was close, North Carolina State beat them. And so, you know, you always wonder, you know, yeah, they're killing teams and destroying them, but if they ever got close, how would they handle it? And I'm trying to think if they had some – I think there were early in the year there were some close games.
There were. I mean, and it's one of those things where, I mean, I'm not concerned about it with the if they were in a close game, because the way that John Marinelli coached this team, and the way he had them moving and stuff like that, even if this game was close, and even if they did have a closer than normal, you know, outcome or closer than normal game, and it was close down the stretch, you never really were concerned that there was going to be a problem. You always knew that John had this game. John did a great job having this team under control, knowing the situation, knowing what to do, and being kind of one of those calm, cool, collective customers where they're not going to – they won't blow it because of the way they're coached and the way those kids know how to play the game. So I never really had that fear of, if this game gets close, could it get out of hand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great point, and just a wonderful season. But I was just trying to think back, were there any close games? I think there were in the beginning, but in the playoffs, I mean, no one could get close to them. And when New Britain came down, they started out the opening drive, and they scored, and they were pretty big. And I think, all right, this team may be blowing them off the line. But Greenwich was too quick for them and just wore them down. And then that game ended up like 50-13. So that was the closest of the three.
Right. And it goes to the conditioning to the kids. I mean, the kids were – I mean, there were a lot of teams that even if they did hang with them, like New Canaan. New Canaan was able to hang with them for, you know, a good amount of time during the – you know, they were able to come back and do this, that, and the other. But Greenwich was so well-conditioned and had so many athletes that other teams, their offensive defensive lines were just gassed by the mid-third quarter going into the fourth quarter. And that's when Greenwich was able to – even if it was a close game – they were able to take advantage of that and key off their mistakes and get those points on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is a great story to end off on. Paul Silverfarb, thank you so much for calling in and being our guest today.
No problem. An absolute pleasure, Fred.
Well, come back again soon and enjoy your week.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, thank you. That was Paul Silverfarb. I am Fred Camillo along with Noah Roth and for Teddy Roosevelt. See you all next week.
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Dead on arrival, the Dems pick Milwaukee. I'm Michael Toscano. President Trump's new budget proposal for the coming fiscal year calls for a 5% cut in spending across the board, education, health, the environment, with an exception for the military, which gets a $35 billion boost plus $8.6 billion to go toward a border wall. Manu Raja reports Democrats call it dead on arrival.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, along with the Democratic leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, making it clear that the president's demands will not pass muster with Democrats, and the president will have to back down from his approach.
The investigation into yesterday's deadly crash of an Ethiopia Airlines Boeing 737.